And I'll say it very nicely. I said, I'll give God everything, I promise you, but I won't pass it through you. No vex. Some will go through my mother. Yes, some will go through my wife. Some will go through my children. Some will go through other people. All of them sacrificed on the altar. Every single one. No vex, pastor, I believe you. But if you're waiting for my check, you no go complete. Now, why do I say that? It's simple. Because I know, all right, that if you're talking about God, there are different ways to reach him. Go and read my book, How to Work for God. I discussed it there. And also Grace to Prosper. Are you getting my point? When I say that, it's not because I'm afraid to give you money. But there are those that the reason why they will refuse is simply because, no. This money that my father labored for, like if you watch the film of Jesus of Nazareth, when they say, go and sell all that you have and give to the poor. I know that I didn't tell Peter that. That just by the way. Anyway, we'll get to that one next week. All right, let me not get ahead of myself. So I'm talking about the matter of zeal. So you see, zeal, all right, is a sign actually. Are you getting my point? That you really are in tune with God and you really love him. Yes, you must. Everybody that gets born again or gets converted in a particular area, the first thing that happens is that zeal is fired up inside you. You suddenly want to convert the whole world. If you never had that experience, it's possible that you never really, oh, you get my point, you really didn't tap into the real thing. But even though it's a sign of something that is real, what you do with zeal is you control it. You don't respond to it. And the way you control zeal is by knowledge and understanding. Are you getting my point? I will give a few practical things as we go on. Let me just establish that issue. Zeal is good, it is right. But it's like childhood exuberance. What we are supposed to do as Christians is to control it. There's an example I give all that I've given a number of times, all right? One young man came to see me right here. I sat down, I was talking to him. When he finished talking, something came across my mind. He wanted to do evangelism. He's an evangelism supervisor on his campus. But he was in trouble, that's why he came to see me. So after he spoke, something crossed my mind. I said, come, that evangelism, the equipment you guys hired and everything, did you use your school fees to pay for it? So he looked at me and said, yes, sir. I told him, you're a rogue. That's what I told him. I said, you're a rogue. He looked at me. I asked him, I said, do you work? He said, no. Where did you get the money from? He said, my father gave it to me. So he gave it to you to go and do what? To go and pay fees. And he used it to do evangelism. You're a thief. I said, if you were a civil servant, EFCC by now would have arrested you. It's called misappropriation of funds. You know, he had never heard that type. Who's looking at me? I said, what you have done is called foolishness. It's not faith. It's not zeal. It is zeal. Unchecked. It's not your money. I hope you understand it. It's your father's money. He sent you on an errand to go and give to your vice chancellor and the boss of the school. Then on the way, you diverted it. You're a PDP governor. I'm very sorry. Anyway, Sha, not all PDP governors are bad. But one thing is sure, what you did was wrong. Now, the young man was zealous. That's the point I'm coming to. He was zealous. But without what? Knowledge. Without understanding. Please, I hope you have another one to explain. I told him simply, he said, what should I do? I said, simple. Go back home. You are called a prodigal son. Your types are called prodigal sons. You will go back home and go and prostrate and tell your father, I have sinned against God and against you in misappropriating your funds. It was ignorance. I'm very sorry. But at least you're happy that I didn't use the joint cult. I didn't use the smoke Igbo. It was evangelism we used my school fees to do. I said, you're my father. Where else will I go? I'm sorry, I won't do it again. Are you getting my point? One day I heard the pastor preaching. He said, students, they are the ones that I give the most to. And I laughed. You know why I laughed? I said, because they don't work for money. They don't understand anything. After all, daughters, not boys, it's girls. Let me just give you smudges. You know what they do? They will harass all their uncles. They will go to church and pledge 1 million naira. As they are pledging, their uncle will come back from Abuja next week. My uncle, my father's cousin, he promised me that one day he will do something for me. That is, they are mapping it out. So they can pledge 1 million and be going around, you get my point, collecting to play the pledge they made to the Lord. But the boys, they really can't. Boys generally are slower at such things. These girls are not to harass their uncles, their brothers. So what the person was saying, I said, listen, let's know what we're analyzing, what we want to analyze. Are you saying that students know how to beg more than workers? Yes. Before a man decides he's going to give you money, his faith must be great. He has checked everything, all right, and he's sure that he can do it. Because he will not go anywhere going to beg anybody. One day a student came up to me, said that their fellowship, they are doing something, they're supposed to give a, so his group, they are supposed to give a gift to the fellowship, so he's raising money. I said, come, wait. Your group is supposed to give something to the fellowship. A gift to the fellowship, yes. I said, let me tell you what they told people to do. Go and see what you can gather by yourself and give. It is acceptable according to what a man has. See, I'm very slow. God forgive me. This is just by the way. Hey, I'm going ahead of myself. When students come up to me to raise money a lot of times, most times I don't give them anything. Christian students too. Funny enough, unbelieving students, I give. And now you say, Pastor Frank, what are you talking about? I'll tell you my reason. If they come and say, look, this magazine, we are doing it on campus, you know. I look at, oh, it's a magazine. Okay. He said, please, launch it for us. How much do you sell it? They said 200 naira. Okay, buy a copy. Okay, I can buy a copy for 2,000. I have no problem. But when Christians gather, one day they came and said, we are gathering all medical students from all over the nation. And we are very small. So, sir, we need your help. I said, you're very stupid. 50 of you want to gather 2,000 students. I said, this is what they call lack of common sense. Why didn't you send them to a bigger school? I said, because you Christians, you come from churches that have a culture of begging. Pentecostal churches are certified beggars. You know now, why are you looking at me like you haven't seen it before? Don't you go to church? So the young people come and think that's the way life is. So they will sit down and draw a budget that's far bigger than them. Then look for any Christian amongst the lecturer, he has to pay the bill. Good morning, sir. You know, as brothers in the Lord, you know, the Lord has laid it upon our heart to do this mighty. Once they started, my heart, I just start getting angry. I will take the money, give to an unbelieving project, you know what I'm saying? A normal project on campus, but the students, I'm reluctant. My simple reason is this. Now, listen, I give to serious projects. I'm not saying, don't get me wrong. But I look at it sometimes that why don't you people believe? I'll discuss that next week. All right? That you can cut your coat according to the work you have had with the Lord. I didn't say according to your cloth. According to your experience of working with God. David didn't kill Goliath until God had proven himself strong in his life when he accidentally challenged a lion. He knows why I said the word accidentally. He wasn't looking for fight. He came to take what belonged to him. It was lion that started the fight, and he had to defend himself. It's called self-defense. If you shoot somebody in America in self-defense, it's not a problem. Now, please, I will discuss this in details, this issue of being reasonable. Because people say that, no, you don't walk, you walk by faith. And then when they are walking by faith, they're actually walking by pure foolishness. Children often get away with it because he's mindful that they are both children. But with adults, God is often, he just look at you and say, all right, I will show you Pepe. Not because I'm angry, so that you learn a lesson. Please, I know I've raised a lot of questions. I'll answer them next week. But let me just give one before as answer before I leave. It is acceptable according to what a man what has. Not according to the one he can beg for. Let's leave that one there. This is what zeal does to people. It makes them take actions, number one, before it's time. I was saying something earlier, that zeal is good. It's a sign that something is inside there. But the job that you have as a person is to control that zeal. There's a scripture we should read. It's very important. Let me just quickly read this. Proverbs chapter 16. This one, it will help me explain this thing that I'm saying further. Why I'm discussing this is that a lot of times, because of our zeal, we want to do things that are just so outlandish, things that are just great. And it's because of our zeal. We want to conquer the whole world in one day for the Lord. I like one thing, Gordon's. How many of you know Gordon's? If you know Gordon's, say amen. If you know him, say amen. Now let me hear. I know he's a comedian and he's a Christian. He said, sometimes people want to do what even God says, I wish I could do. He said, a man wants to save the whole world. He said, even God said, I wish. He said, I wish that all men will be saved. That there are things that even God, it's just a matter of wish. But Christians, young Christians, get up and say, I can do this. We're going to go out and convert the whole of Saudi Arabia. It's a good dream to have. It's a good vision to have. But especially when it comes to difficult things like Saudi Arabia, you should use the Moses style. When God said, thou shalt go to Saudi, tell him, I can't speak Arabic. Let him give you a staff, a rod. You get my point? Power. So by the time you show up, you won't doubt it. Are you getting my point? Yes, I was talking about that. That's what I call the Moses style. Say, go to Saudi. Say, Lord, I can't speak Arabic. Then, don't worry. It's more of God, arm me proper. That's what you're saying. So that I don't need to talk. Just give me a rod. Don't just jump in there with your normal human strength. Let me say this. A lot of people, that's the problem. Zeal has wrecked them. There's a scripture I quoted last time, and I applied it one way. That the Bible said concerning Jesus, that he said, the zeal for thy house has consumed me. I said, that's what zeal does. It consumes people. It will eat them up. Jesus was very zealous, you know that. But he always kept himself in check. In fact, he told the disciples, don't fight a Roman soldier. It's not necessary. In Israel, they had what they call zealots. Zealots were those who were so concerned about deliverance for Jerusalem and for the whole of Israel that they took up arms to fight. They called them zealots. Are you getting my point? But Jesus had that amount of zeal, but he had the knowledge and the understanding to know that that's not the proper thing to do. Quickly, open. Are you there? Proverbs chapter 16, right? What I want to read is verse 32. It says, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he who rules or controls his spirit than he who captures a city. What I want from there is that one that says, he who controls his spirit or who rules his spirit. I explained to us before a few weeks ago that the word spirit is used to describe many things in the Bible. And this particular one is talking about the person who controls his drive. Are you getting what I'm saying? In fact, let me just say this by the way to help a few people. You know, the Bible says that a man should bear rule in his own house. Is that okay? A man should lead in his home. Then the man's supposed to love his wife as his flesh. Amen? You know, there are some men who beat their wives regularly. And I heard people preach, say, don't mind them, they are useless men, they are stupid men, they are this. I don't say such things. Because until a woman frustrates you, you have not seen frustration. A woman is worse than the devil in frustrating a man. The devil cannot frustrate a man as much as a woman can. A woman can drive you mental. Today you are a normal, sane person. Tomorrow you are in hospital. It's not a lie. Ask every married man who has been married for more than a month. So, I'm trying to bring out something there from there. So, if I see a man like that, I call him, I pray with him. I teach him how to control his spirit. I found out that, listen, I said that's by the way. If you don't recognize that, you young men, you will kill somebody. Because you didn't, you thought that the men who did it were abnormal people. But when you realize that there's what the Bible calls temptation, are you getting what I'm saying? Then you are armed with prayer before you go. So we join hands. You know, if a man, there are men who are crazy. Do you get my point? I know one. There's one man I know. He's mentally not okay. But most men, no, they're not like that. They just don't know how to control their spirit. That's what I'm trying to explain. Because at times, you are stirred up to do things. I mean, you have been in situations before that you want to slap somebody. Imagine that that person you wanted to slap now moves into your bedroom and does that into you every day. Haba. Okay? Are you getting my point? So what does a man do? He learns to control his what? His spirit. And that's what you teach men. Learn how to control your spirit. And that's one of the things you have. You know, men, just you just have to learn it. There are those that the way they control their spirit is that they just wear their jogging shoes and disappear. That's a good one. There are those that, you know what they do? They go and drink. That's a bad one. There are those that just leave the house and go and join useless men. A lot of men, you know how they control their spirit. It's a bad way. They go, you see them in clubs. They never go home. You know, but this is just a joke, by the way. All right? I'll go back to my message. I heard this at a wedding. So one day, a woman, her husband was never at home. He would come back home late, around 12 midnight, 1 a.m., drunk. You know, staggering like, there's this guy that cracks jokes on TV. Clean the drunk. So for years, it has been going on. So she now went to go and meet one DBA to help her arrange solution to the problem. So the DBA did one concussion, did a lot of things. And as this is how you will apply it. You will go, when does your husband come by? Say, yeah, between 12 and 1 a.m. He say, okay, good. You go and wait on the road. Cover your head with white cloth like a ghost. And then when the man is appearing, you will jump out on the road and scare him and spread the thing on him. It will work. And they say it will work. So the woman got up, did that. 12 midnight, she went and waited. Around to 1, the man began to stagger back home. So she jumped out of the road. Hurr! The man looked and said, get away, you. My wife at home is more terrible than you are. You want to scare me? I get away, my friend. And I just staggered past the ghost and continue going home. So the woman went back to go and report to the people who gave her the prescription. So the man looked and said, that was what he said. He said, go back home and go and think about it. What am I trying to explain? That's just by the way, man. Let's give out to our message. Controlling the spirit. That's only many things here and there. But this is one I want to make, all right? Now, life, all right? Let's talk on the good side. Forget, I just used that one by the way. That people, you have to learn to control your spirit. Say, he that controls his spirit is better than a man, all right? That takes a city. That is, a man can make a billion naira from doing business aggressively. But if he returns back home, anytime his wife annoys him, he beats her, you know, turns everywhere upside down. The Bible says he's worse than a poor man. Because he that makes $1 million is inferior to the man who can control his anger. Do you get the logic? You understand the logic there? That a man that makes $1 billion is inferior to the man who can control his anger. Because as a matter of fact, one is going to do something terrible, they are going to put him in jail, and that $1 billion will be useless to him. Are you getting my point? What am I saying? I just want to illustrate the issue that everybody, men, women, must learn to control their spirit. Now let's talk on that zeal side. Zeal basically is a good thing. The one we have said is a bad thing, right? Somebody stirs you up to anger. Somebody stirs you up to anger, you have to control your spirit. But what I want to emphasize from there is that even when it comes to a good thing, we still have to learn to control our spirits. A friend told me once about a man, a very kind brother, a doctor. He works in a hospital, all right? He will use all his salary to help patients who don't have money to pay. And then he will borrow. First of all, it sounds like a good thing. But you look at it totally, it's a bad thing. Yes. When you have exhausted your money, stop there. It is acceptable according to what a man has. And as a matter of fact, you will understand something. That you can't solve all the problems on the earth. And you will soon ruin yourself so much that nobody will even allow you back there to help anybody at all. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Even when it comes to good things, you have to put your zeal under. You have to learn to control it. There's one that people do a lot, you know, evangelism. A young man feels he's on fire for the Lord. The fire is burning inside him. And he gets up. The fire is burning so much, he just walks out of school to go and start preaching. A lot of times it is good. More times it is wrong. Pastor Bank, what I'm telling you, I know what I'm telling you. Except the Lord speaks directly by a manner that you cannot doubt and says, Daniel, get up now. Leave all that you are doing. By tomorrow morning, I want you starting this work. If he doesn't do that, please, my brethren, wait. Because zeal, let me tell you something. It makes people do things before it's time. And usually when they start things before it's time, they wreck it. God wanted to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. So he prepared a young boy, or he prepared a young man to marry a young woman, and they gave birth to a young child. And that boy's name was Moses. And he preserved the life of that child. Then when he got to a particular age, he decided it is time. And he got up and said, great Israelites, hey! Great Israelites, hey! Great! We not go great. The Egyptian tyranny must fall from our shoulders today. Amen. What shall we do? Kill the Egyptian. So he took one Egyptian and slaughtered him. And God said, you see, this is the way by which they will be in captivity for the next 1,000 years. Please, guys, help me arrange this guy. So God arranged and flung him out of Egypt and kept him in the wilderness until the Aluta spirit dissipated. When the Aluta spirit had discontinued, you know what I'm saying? There's Aluta. When the man had got into the face of Aluta discontinued, the Lord now showed up. He said, go back to Egypt. And the guy said, I can't talk. I can imagine all the angels in heaven nodding. Yes, yes, yes. The time is ripe. Go now. I can't talk. Ah, the angel said amen. Oh, praise God. The Lord is good. They knew that now he'll be able to do the job. He so refused to go. Moses was given to him in anger. Aaron. Aaron was, okay, Aaron will talk for you. But this time, he went there, no struggle. He just walked into Pharaoh's palace. Thus says the Lord. Then the Lord went with him with a mighty hand. And by his mighty hand, he delivered the people of Israel. 40 years ago, brother, use zeal. And by zeal, he wrecked everything. If he knew how to check his zeal, let me tell you something. What zeal should do for you, first and foremost, is to drive you to your knees. Keep on praying until your mind cools down small. A brother walked to me once. I went to do a seminar at the University of Benin. I've mentioned the story to us here before. He had zeal. You could see it on him. He heard that Pastor Banky was coming. So he was there to receive Pastor Banky. And he came up to me, thanked the Lord for my life, shook my hand, and gave me an envelope containing all his plans for ministry. A student. Had this fantastic envelope and this. After we talked, he said I should pray with him. Can you refuse? And now when I finished, he said, all right, I should speak what the Lord is saying to him out of my spirit. Hey, Opa, really new. Wahala day, Omo. I said, well, like, I said, no, that I should just dip inside my spirit. Hallelujah. I'm adding some things to it now. He said, I should just go inside my spirit. That's what he said. And bring out what God is saying to him. I said, all right, you ask for it, you're going to get it. And truly, I kept quiet for a while. I rolled my eyes backwards so that I could see inside my spirit. And I said to him, brother, take it easy. He said, what did I say? You asked for it. I said, take it easy. The young man slowed down small.
He said, this man, he mentioned somebody, I can't remember now, was here the other day. I told him the same thing, and he told me exactly what you say now. I said, well, that's confirmation that the Lord is telling you, boy, this is, you need some water. The Bible said in Mark chapter 4, when the word goes forth, the ones that spring quickly, is they are manifestations of the fact that the earth is not deep. If you see a man, you just finish preaching, tomorrow, he grabs everything. We are going out, all right, to respond to that preaching, and we are going to evangelize the whole of Enugu. Know that before he gets to number 2A, Chime Avenue, this is 1A, he will be tired. Because zeal, it will soon fade. When realities, when you start preaching and they pour hot water on you, in the first house you get to. When you go hungry for 3 nights, you will send a message like John the Baptist. Lord, are you sure I'm the one to come or I should expect another? Please, I hope you have another explain. Zeal is good. I first established it. If you never have zeal in you, maybe you have not connected with the Lord properly. But what you are supposed to do is to learn how to keep it in check. Because, number one, there is an appointed time for every vision. But men who have not kept their zeals in check tend to try to execute the vision before the appointed time. And usually, what they do is to wreck the vision. That's what they do. What am I supposed to do therefore? I said, first thing your zeal should do for you is to drive you to the place of what? Prayer. Use your zeal to pray. In fact, prayer is very good. Use your fear to pray. If you are afraid, go and pray. If you are zealous, go and pray. Wait. The Bible said that one of the things you will understand is this. You know, there's something about when you have a lot of energy and zeal. If you knock on the door, it doesn't open. You tear it down. Yes, that's zeal. But a man who understands seasons knows that if we knock on the door, it doesn't open. We don't tear it down. We keep knocking until it is open. I don't know what I heard I said. We knock and we keep knocking until the door opens. That's what men who understand, that's what they do. While we are doing that, what we are doing is we are praying. Why am I saying so? Because everything in life has seasons. One of the ways you know the right season for something is when the thing begins to fall easily. So the kingdom of God is like a seed that a man plants. Are you getting my point? And then, how does it go again? He said, the man goes to sleep. He said, the earth by itself brings forth fruit. He himself does not know how. First the grain, first the blade, the ear, then the full grain in the ear. Then when the crop permits, he puts in the sickle because the harvest is ready or the harvest has come. And the way I illustrate it all the time is this. You get to a mango tree when it's still green and maybe big. I don't know whether you tried it when you were very young. All right, when I was young, I did. We stone it, you beat it with a stick. It doesn't come down easy. But when it is ripe, a breeze will just blow. The tree will shake slightly and the thing will start raining down. That is what is called the crop has permitted. Zeal. For example, a man, this is a counsel I give you these days. You want to start your own business. Very good. You should start your own business. Amen. And you know I preach it. The Bible says, who is it that wants to build a house that will not first sit down and count? A lot of people, they want to start their business, they have not counted. And this is the advice I give people. Anything you want to do in life, you know that I like to do this kind of business. Please, don't just get up and get out without any other thing you're doing. Let me explain what I'm saying. Let's assume I'm working in an office now. And I want to start a ministry. This is what most Christians do. And this is what most people will still advise they should do. This is what they think is a sign of seriousness. But I think it's a sign of overzealousness. Except for certain conditions. Let me explain what I'm saying. If I'm in Enugu, I work in maybe Federal Mortgage Bank, or I work Nigeria Breweries, Coca-Cola, whatever. Alright? And I feel the call of God to ministry. It's simple. Except God shows you in a vision. You know what I mean? You know there are some visions that you know is in a vision. There are dreams in which
it could be imagination. You get my point? You know that?